So how many of you guys are feeling the Christmas pressure already? You probably don't want to admit it. That's pressure right there, right? So today I want to talk to you guys out of Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. We're going to go through 25, about Joseph's struggle with Christmas. Joseph wasn't exactly bubbling over about the news that Mary was with child. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. So if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read through verse 18 through verse 25. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will give birth to a child, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Moses woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that your foresight, that your plan for humanity came through your son, Jesus. That the fulfillment of 2,000 years of prophecy was made manifest through this Virgin Mary and through Joseph's willingness to be obedient to your word. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to remember today this wonderful story. And I pray, Lord, that you would anoint each and every one of our hearts, each and every one of our spirit, as we unfold what you have for us today in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, the first thing I want to draw out of this passage is God's sovereignty. All right? Look with me at verse 18. We're just going to read a portion of it. It says, before they came together, she was found to be with child. Now, that's the Bible's way of saying she was pregnant outside of marriage. Can you imagine the real-life shock of these words? Now, we read them in Scripture, and we pass over them so quickly that we forget that this news is devastating some lives. This news is about to put Joseph in a spiral. See, Joseph was... he was dating this really awesome lady named Mary. She's beautiful. To him, he was excited about it. He was telling everybody about it. They were picking out drapes together. They were picking out tile. They were calling me up to paint their house. I mean, they were ready. They were ready for a life together. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, in verse 18, before they came together, she was found to be with child. That's devastating news for Joseph. I mean, the real-life shock of these words has enormous implications and possibly eternal implications. Joseph was getting the worst news of his life. In the Jewish culture, if you were to pledge to be married, if you were pledged to be married, you were in the betrothal period. Now, we don't say those words today. I never said I was, you know, Dana was betrothed to me and vice versa and so forth. We call that engagement, right? But the betrothal period was a period where, if you notice in Scripture, it called Joseph her husband and Mary his wife. So the betrothal period was a period where they were not, there was no consummation yet. But they were considered husband and wife. And to the community, it was the same way. They were considered husband and wife. And so the only way they could get out of this was by divorce. So you can see how devastating this news was to Joseph. So how does God's sovereignty fit into this? Because through it all, God has a plan. Look at your neighbor and say, God has a plan. God has a plan. God drafted Joseph into a difficult position in his life. At this point, we have to ask ourselves, would God do the same thing to us? Have you ever truly contemplated the sovereignty of God in your life? If we affirm that we are His, are we willing to be drafted as Joseph was drafted? And I'm going to be honest with you. Nobody in this place volunteers to be in a very difficult spot in their life. That's not on my agenda. I don't want to be in a difficult spot in my life. I don't want to have trials in my life. Trials don't fit into what I do. I don't want trials in my life. Neither do you. Nobody would in this room would call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, would you please, if you have any time to spare, could you please put difficulty in my life? You just squeeze that in there. That'd be great. If you could put me through a trial that would test my faith, my humanity, my relationship, my sanity, that, I mean, I would love that. Thank you. And if you would do that around Christmas time, that would just be like awesome, right? Nobody prays those prayers. We don't want difficulty in our life. We don't want struggle in our life. Joseph did not sign up for this part of the story. Joseph was happy to be engaged. He was happy to call Mary his wife, and all of a sudden he gets this horrible news. And the Bible just kind of puts it eloquently, right? He doesn't trash Mary. He just says, before they came together, she was found to be with child. And so what happens is Joseph is absolutely devastated by this news. Now the sovereignty of God comes into play here because God always has a plan even through our difficulties. Even through our struggles, even through the times where we question our own salvation, God has a plan. God doesn't leave us in difficult times. He doesn't tap out and say, I didn't sign up for this, I'm out. God knows the beginning from the end, and the end from the beginning, amen? He is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows it all. When He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, He means it. When He says that I have a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, He means that. But we have to trust His sovereign plan. What does sovereignty mean? It means ultimate authority. There is no other authority higher than Him. Now, the tricky part about His sovereignty is that He doesn't demand that we obey Him, does He? The Bible says, whosoever will. Whosoever will. There's another picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. Jesus could just walk through the door. He could just part the waves. He can do whatever He possibly wants. You remember the time when Jesus stood up in the boat and all of His disciples were going crazy? They were all seasoned fishermen. They had seen storms before. They had seen clouds rolling in. They had felt the rumble of the boat going back and forth. They had felt the wind and the rain pelting against their face. But yet, Jesus, where was Jesus? He was in the bottom of the boat sleeping, man. He was at the bottom catching some Z's because He said, let's go over to the other side. And so Jesus spoke His word and He rested on His word. And the disciples were freaking out because they didn't know if they were going to get there because a squall had come up on the lake. And that's a quick, sharp, fierce storm that makes it feel like the rain is coming up from the bottom, going sideways, back and forth. And it wasn't until His disciples cried out, Lord, that he woke from his slumber and came out and said, man, how much longer am I going to have to stick around with you guys? Don't you have enough faith? I said we're going to go to the other side. And he looked at the wind. He rebuked the wind and the rain and said, peace, be still. And it was still. That is the power and the authority that Jesus has within his members. Are you getting this morning? His sovereignty, his ultimate authority, not just on nature, but in humanity as well, is supreme beyond all. But the tricky part of it is that we have to invite that into our life. We have to invite his sovereignty and his power in our life, and we have to yield to that. And whatever situation we are in, we can truly say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Whether we are in pain, whether we are in want, whether we have no Christmas presents under the tree, whether we're struggling, whether we're sick, whether we're tired, whether we're going through the biggest struggle in our life, we can truly say, because he is sovereign in our life, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because the person and the believer that is not and doesn't have their mind made up about the sovereignty of God and has yielded to that will question God at every turn. We'll become that complainer I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Because complaining is tied to unbelief. Amen? And so Joseph has a decision to make in his life. He has a decision to make of what to do. And in his mind, he's already starting to make those decisions based on how he feels. Based on circumstantial evidence. But here we look at it, and when we truly accept God's sovereignty over our lives, then God, again, he's good no matter what. No matter what. But we have to, each and every one of us, come to a conclusion in our own heart, in our own life, in our own family, who ultimately has the authority in our life. Because I'm going to be honest with you, difficulty brings that to light real quick. Can I get a? Difficulty brings out who truly has the authority in our life. Does our circumstances have the authority in our life? Do our own hands have the authority in our own life? Who has the authority? The only way that that is made manifest is through difficulty. Now again, we don't pray for it. We don't ask for it. But we know we don't have to pray for it, do we? Because it happens. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. It happens to us all. It doesn't matter if you pray 5 hours a day or read your Bible constantly during the day or at night you put earbuds on so that you can listen to the Bible all night long. You're still going to have trouble in your life. It doesn't matter how super spiritual you are. It doesn't matter how many scriptures you know. It doesn't matter how much time you pray or whatever the circumstances in. Life happens. Difficulty happens. We know that. Jesus said, there's going to be trouble. Trouble will come. But he said, take heart. I have overcome the world. See, Jesus has got it all figured out. He has got a plan. Amen? There's a missionary by the name of Alan Gardner, and the more I study this man's life, it's absolutely incredible. This guy had it set up in his mind about who the ultimate authority was in his life, and he yielded to it. All his life he wanted to be a captain on a ship. He lived in the 1800s, and at one time when he was a little kid, his mother came in and found him on the floor, sleeping on the floor. And she woke him up and she said, Alan, what are you doing sleeping on the floor? She said, listen, if I'm going to be a sea captain, I got to start sleeping on the floor right now. I got to start roughing it. I got to start getting my body acclimated to rough times. And he grew up, and sure enough, that's what he went into to school to do. And he began to sail all over the world, all over the place. God got a hold of his life one day, and he came to Christ, and the Lord spoke to him about what he is supposed to do as far as being a missionary, and God laid it on his heart to to minister to the people on the island, the southern tip of South America. And in that time, he had lots of struggles. Every time that he set up base camp and put his supplies under guard, the natives would come in. They would steal every single thing that they had. And then they would destroy their boats so that they had no way back. They did this over and over and over again, time and time again, with little results. And nowhere in Alan's story did it say that he questioned the sovereignty of God, the will of God for his life. But he kept pushing forward with little results. We pick up the story. It says, Alan Gardner experienced many physical difficulties and hardships throughout his service to the Savior. Despite the troubles, he said, "While God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me." For months and months, year after year, they struggled with hunger. They struggled with survival. And yet, Alan writes in his journal, "While God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me." In 1851, at the age of 57, he died of disease and starvation while serving on an island in the southern tip of South America. When his body was found, his diary lay nearby. It bore the record of hunger, thirst, wounds, and loneliness. The last entry in his little book showed the struggle of his shaking hand as he tried to write legibly. And it read these words, "I am overwhelmed with the sense of the goodness of God." That'll make you rethink what success is. Alan Gardner was so caught up in what God called him to do that no matter what came in his life, God was still good. No matter if he was starving, whether he was thirsty, whether his body was wrought with disease because of malnutrition, even if his hand was shaking to enter into his journal, his last words were, "I am overwhelmed with the sense of the goodness of God." Guys, as individuals, as believers, we all need to come to that place. Whether hardship may come to us, whether sickness may come to us, may we ever bless the name of the Lord. I told you that all throughout my life, I never knew my dad to be a well man. My dad, we never played tackle football out in the front yard. At best, he threw the ball to me and that was it. He stayed in hospital after hospital. His life was wrought with disease because of his liver, because of medication. Time and time again, my dad battled with loneliness. We read some of his journal after he had passed, and he battled with loneliness. He battled with depression. He battled with all of those things. And as I was tending to him in his last days, he said, "Jimmy, I know God has a plan for my life. And I trust that plan." You see, my dad had figured out about the sovereignty of God. He found out that God knows best and he doesn't. And I look at my dad, and my dad had hardly two pennies to rub together. We threw out 75% of his stuff. Or gave it away because he didn't have any earthly treasures to speak of. I cling only to a few little things that my dad has. I only have a couple of videos to watch him every once in a while. But those videos and my dad's words remind me that no matter what comes in your life, God is still good. He has a plan. He has a plan in your pain. He has a plan in your confusion. God has a plan, and it's for your good. Now, my dad, he went on to be with the Lord in heaven. There's no more tears. There's no more sickness. His skin is no longer yellow. He has a heavenly body now. And I thank God for that. Now, do I wish my dad was still around? Of course. But I bless the name of the Lord because the Lord gave me a dad who demonstrated to me how to cling to God's goodness and His faithfulness, even in the midst of despair and pain. And I'm going to tell you, church, you're going to go through that. If you're, some of you may be in that right now. Maybe this is not the most wonderful time of the year for you. Maybe it's the most terrible time of the year for you. Trust in the plan of God for your life. Trust that through your pain, through your struggle, God has a plan. We know that Jeremiah 29:11 says that He has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. That's the kind of plan we can trust, amen? Now let's pick up the story in verse 19. Let's look at that. Because Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public shame, he had it in mind to divorce her. Divorce her quietly. So this reveals the actions of a righteous man. Joseph's first concern was to marry. Now, listen to this story. I mean, Joseph is, again, everything's right as rain, right? Everything's going well with him. All of a sudden, he gets this terrible, awful, bad news that his fiance is pregnant and with child. And so Joseph, because he was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public shame, he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, this reveals the actions of a righteous man. Joseph's first concern was for Mary. How many of us, given this same circumstance, would have it in ourselves as the first priority? Her feelings. How she feels. I'm convinced this is why Scripture called Joseph a righteous man. We can't respond like Joseph. We can't respond like Joseph when we respond out of emotion and pain. Maybe you've been operating like that. Maybe you've been making your decisions based off pain, based off of the past and so forth. But we can't do that. We can't afford to do that as believers. We can't afford to stay in the past as believers. We got to move forward because God has a plan. He doesn't have an ending in mind for you. He has a plan for your life. That means if you have a plan, there needs to be action in your life. Amen? That God's not done with you yet. If you're living, if you're breathing, God still has a plan for your life. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't operate out of pain. Don't operate out of frustration. Don't give up. Hold on tight because God has a plan. God has a plan. So, church, we have to realize that even in your pain, even in confusion, God has a plan. Even when the world feels like it's falling on your head, God still has a plan. Even when Alan Gardner was sick, even when he had lost all of this weight and his hand was trembling, he said, "I am overwhelmed with the sense of the goodness of God." Now, Joseph resisted the very strong urge to act harshly. But even in his concern for Mary and her reputation, he was still going to divorce her. Look at verse 20. It says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Now here is a game changer in the story. It's a game changer in the story. In the heat of the moment, when our frustration is at a boiling point, when we're about to give up, stop praying, stop going to church, stop believing, stop reading, stop trying to be a Christ follower. When we're in the midst of the struggle, Joseph did something that changed the course of history. The Bible said, Joseph considered this. What does that mean? That means that Joseph didn't act emotionally. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. What does that mean? Joseph went home and went to bed. I would have went home and went to bed too. Right? Remember, they're picking out tiles. They got a house. They're renovating it. They're telling everybody they're getting married. And all of a sudden, Joseph gets the worst possible news of his life. And in his head, he's thinking, I got to divorce her. I want to divorce her quietly because I don't want to bring public shame to her, but I'm going to divorce her and get out of this. That's what he's thinking in his head. But the Bible says he went and he pondered, he considered what to do. And the angel of the Lord came to him at that moment and began to speak to him. And this is the game changer in the story. But after this, he went and considered all that had happened. Joseph's response to this was to stop and consider what just took place. Now that flies in the face of conventional wisdom. Joseph positioned himself to hear from the Lord, and when he stopped to consider, rather than letting his emotions rule his life, then he heard from the Lord. Sometimes, church, we've got to stop in our emotion. We've got to stop in our seemingly justified anger, and we've got to be still so that we can hear the quiet, still voice of the Lord. Because He wants to speak to us. He wants to direct us. He wants to reveal His plan for our life. We know that our Heavenly Father is a good God because He gives good gifts to His children. We know that because that's in Scripture. He doesn't want to hide or withhold any good thing from His children. You, and you. He doesn't want to hide anything or leave out anything that is for your benefit and for your good. But if we operate out of pain and frustration, if we make emotional decisions, if we base our life on how we feel, then we block the voice of God in our life. Because at some point, we have to stop and rely upon the sovereignty and the ultimate authority that God has upon our life and say, Dad, I don't understand. I don't understand why this has happened to me. I didn't do anything to cause this to happen to me. But Lord, I know that through this you're gonna bless me. Through this you're gonna get the glory. Lord, if you can get the glory out of my pain, I give it to you. If you can get the glory out of my frustration, I give it to you. Lead and guide my life. That's where Joseph is at. He went home and he pondered these things and he positioned himself to receive a word from the Lord. And let's look and see what that is in verse 20. Let's look at it together. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife. And here comes God's plan right here. Listen. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. In an emotionally charged situation, just when we would be tempted to ignore our dreams as a product of our subconscious, God is present. He's leading, He's directing, He's guiding us through it all. By the way, there was no other indicator that Joseph heard anything else from God until Jesus was born. He remained faithful to God's direction for months, all based on one word, one dream, one promise from the Lord. See, Joseph went home and he began to ponder these things. And as he quietened his anger, as he quietened his disbelief and his hurt, the Holy Spirit began to speak to him. And he heard God's voice for the first time and he said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. And I want you, Joseph, to give him the name Jesus. I want you, Joseph, to have the honor of being his dad. I want you, Joseph, to have the honor of naming him, because Jesus, meaning He will save His people from their sins. And so we read also that in verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. He gave him the name Jesus. The result of Joseph's contemplation turned out to be the greatest story ever told. The result of his contemplation, the result of his obedience. God spoke to him, and Joseph could have woke up and go and would have went, man, that must have been bad pizza. That must have been, you know, just the trauma of what's going on. But to Joseph's credit, he got up and he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded, and he was faithful in doing so. And out of that obedience, that one dream, that one word, God lifted humanity up out of the muck and mire. And he gave us his son Jesus. That the name of Jesus, our sins would be forgiven. Our lives would be changed, and our lives would be altered forever by the birth of this child. My question this morning as we close is, how will your story be told? Looking back in Scripture, we see it plainly, God's hand working, right? We look at the children of Israel and we're like, how could you ever question the hand of God? How could you? He parted the seas for you. He took you out of Egypt. You plundered Egypt on the way out. How could you go back on God? It's easy to judge that when we've got it written down and we know the beginning from the end, correct? In our lives, we don't know the end from the beginning. We don't know how many days we have on earth. We don't know what is around the corner for us. We plan for our lives, and that's good. But we don't ultimately know what's going to happen in our life. And so when trouble comes in our life and it ruins our plans, we're not to lash out to God emotionally or blame God for any of that, because it questions His sovereignty. But we are to do like Joseph did. He felt the pain of betrayal. He felt confusion in his life, but he didn't succumb to it. He didn't define his life by it, nor did he. He could have took Mary and had her stoned for what she did, was supposed to have done. But Joseph went home and he pondered these things. And he positioned himself to listen and to receive a word from the Lord. What does that mean? That means he denied himself. He denied himself the right to be angry, the right to blame God. Paul said, everything I can do, but not everything is beneficial. And you see, there's no benefit in doing those things. At the end of the day, our story, your story, is up to you and how you respond. Joseph's response, we know, turned into the greatest story ever told, because he became obedient to the command and voice of the Lord, and he obeyed. At the end of the day, we don't know what happened to Joseph's life. We don't know if he died, before Jesus became who we know him to be. We don't know what happened to Joseph. All we know that he was a righteous man and he was obedient. That's enough. That's enough, right? When I die, I don't need a two-story monument to my life. I just want it be told that Jimmy McDonald was obedient. He was faithful. In the hard times and in the good times, God is good. Amen? Let's all stand this morning. So that's probably a Christmas story that you've never heard before, with that kind of bent, right? Talking about God's sovereignty. Because in the midst of the greatest story ever told, there was also pain and struggle. There's always going to be that struggle. There's always going to be a point where you want to tap out. And it's important that we understand that we cannot allow our emotions and our pain and our circumstances to define who we are. and how our story is told. You have a Father in heaven that knows your life intimately, completely. Allow him to steer your life. Allow him to govern over your life, and may the sovereignty of God be over you so that your life will be a blessing, so that your life will be blessed. You see, we look at all the great missionaries and all over the world, their struggle, their pain. Some missionaries Alan lost one of his children. And we look at that and we go, are you insane? Are you kidding me? Shouldn't you go to a safe area? Did you know in Pakistan and in the Middle East, the hotter the flame burns in the church, the greater the revival is that God can move in the church? In Pakistan, in the Middle East, missionaries are refusing to leave. Christians are refusing to leave. And they're being beheaded, they're being killed, their families have been stripped apart, but they're staying. Why? Not so they can get on the news, not so that some monuments can be built of them, but so that Christ may be known in a dark and wicked area. So that their life, at the end of the day, can say, I was obedient. Alan is in heaven now, his arm is no longer shaking, and he can truly say, blessed is the name of the Lord. Amen. Father, this morning we come before you. We thank you so much that you have inspired men to write the Bible so that we in turn can be inspired, so that we can be changed, so that we can have a guide for our life. And I thank you so much for the story of Joseph. I thank you, Lord, that through Joseph's pain, through his confusion, you brought the greatest story ever told. I thank you so much, Father, for your sovereignty in my life. And no matter what happens in my life, may you be glorified. Lord, strengthen me so that I may know that you are good no matter what. That my success, that success may be defined differently in my life. That even if I struggle, that doesn't mean I'm failing. Even if I'm hungry, it doesn't mean that I've failed. If all things fall apart, that doesn't mean I've failed. It just means you have a plan, Lord. You have a plan. And so, Lord, today, I pray that you would reveal your plan, Lord. If there are people in here that are hurting today, maybe they're confused today, Lord, I pray that they would stop their striving. They would stop feeding their pain and stop and be still and do like Joseph did and contemplate all that had happened. And Lord, we know that when he became still, when he went to sleep, you spoke to him in a dream. And that one dream defined Joseph's life. He was obedient to the command of God on his life. And he took Mary in. He loved her. And not only did they have Jesus, but they had other children as well. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of the story of Joseph and his reaction to a very difficult situation. Because we know that Joseph struggled with Christmas. With the thought of Christmas, he struggled with it. And so, Lord, in our struggles, in our pain, if there's anybody here today, you're going through a struggle, man. You're hitting the wall. You're feeling like today may be the last day. You're struggling hard. If that's you today, if everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, if you're struggling, I just want you to raise your hand today and say, Pastor, that's me, man. I'm really struggling today. I'm struggling. This time of year is tough for me. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe this time of the year has nothing to do with your struggle. Maybe it's just you're struggling in general. Maybe you've been operating in pain for a long time and you're ready to be released of that pain If that's you today, if you're dealing with bitterness in your life, you're dealing with pain in your life, and you need that gone, I want you to raise your hand this morning. God's going to deal with that. He's going to deal with that. He's going to take that away today. I believe that. Thank you, Father. Lord, I come before you in Jesus' name, and you've seen these hands that have been raised. I pray, Father, right now, through the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit, you would release them of that pain. You would release them of that struggle right now in the name and the authority of Christ. Release that in their life. May they no longer operate through pain. May they no longer operate through bitterness and resentment. Bring healing to their life and bring security that can only come through your sovereignty. Yielding to your sovereignty, your authority. In Jesus' name. God, may you release them today. I feel that really strong. A release this morning. You release that today. Father, I thank you for replacing that bitterness, that resentment with your peace right now in Jesus' name. Release that today, Lord. Release that today, Lord. Release it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray that you would equip us this morning, because we know that trials and tribulations are going to come our way. Sometimes it's because of our own hand. We have invited these trials into our life. We have invited these struggles into our life. And so, Lord, help us to lean upon you and your understanding. May we acknowledge you in all of our ways. And Lord, you said then you would direct our path. And so, Lord, we release today. We release our incessive need to control. And we say we submit to you today, Lord Jesus. God, may you take over my life. May you bring total and complete surrender to you. And God, I'll be faithful and obedient to the command upon my life when I hear your voice. So ready us, prepare us, Lord. Because we know that trouble will come. We know that heartache will come. We know that confusing times will come. But we know to take heart, because you said, Jesus, that you have overcome the world. You have overcome the world. And so because of that, Lord, in my pain, in my struggle, in my circumstance, I give you praise. Let's do that this morning. If you would, just raise your hands up if you feel comfortable. If not, that's fine. Just worship God. Lord, we thank you right now. We thank you because you are a good God, and in you we live and move and have our being. We no longer move and live and have our being in our troubles. We no longer are defined by who or what our troubles are, but we are defined by your sovereignty. We yield the floor to you. God, write your story. Write your story in my heart, Lord. Write it in my life. Write it in my mind. In the name of Jesus, I give you control today. And Lord, I choose to worship you no matter how I feel, no matter what the circumstances are. May you be glorified, because you are a good God. You are a good God. And Lord, we can say like Alan Gardner said, I am overwhelmed with the sense and the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, today, may you have the eyes of the Lord.